Welcome to the Cold Kids Pod. We're back with episode 3 of season 3. And we are back in the Homerton of football, Merce. Thank you very much for having us. East London's finest drinking hole. Is that fair to say?
I'd say so.
Geared up for the winter tournament that is not long away now. And that's why we're gathered here today, actually, to talk about the World Cup, which is just days away now. Feels weird saying that in November, but
sunny November.
It's sunny November as well. Yeah. So back again, Lewis.
Hello, yeah. Thanks for having me. I'm delighted to be back.
Very welcome in a very, very
snazzy,
beautiful, snazzy,
unbelievable.
But just absolutely.
There's a touch of yeah. Worm about it.
Yeah, I get that a lot. Yeah. are we singing the outro later as well?
That's a positive, by the way.
Yeah.
Portugal 92?
Yeah, I think so. They didn't in the 90s. The early 90s. Not a huge representation of the World Cup, but 94 definitely weren't there, which was the first one.
Yeah.
I was sort of living there as well, but like hell bent on watching. But yeah, this came up and it had to be done, really.
It's so nice, so nice, lovely stuff. David Jones backing up from Colkitts as well in a very nice France shirt from what, about 2 or 3 years ago?
2020
was it? Yeah. Absolutely gorgeous France.
Birthday
shirt.
Present from you, actually.
I was going to say, from a close friend.
Very albeit sweet. 2 months late, but yeah, we won't dwell on that.
And Merce, of course, in a fantastic 2002 England shirt, which just screams David Beckham, Pro Evolution Soccer.
Yeah.
What else?
For me, this was my, what would I have been? This would have been my 16th birthday present.
Yeah.
And the one thing I always remember about this tournament, weirdly, was Pele saying that Nicky Butt was one of the best players on the planet and making his team of the tournament. Long sleeve.
Yeah.
Yeah, he started and he's played a lot in midfield in that tournament. And yeah, randomly. But obviously, it's Beckham, isn't it? It's Greece. It's all those memories.
You have any exams that morning?
Yeah, I can
Brazil,
remember.
I was thinking about Brazil.
I can remember the Brazil game we had. I want to say it was English Lit
right.
in the morning. Right. Maybe, was it one of the Englishes.
Yeah.
And afterwards, I'm just being like, "What the fuck is going on? What is the? Why is this? Why am I watching this on my tiny bedroom video recorder TV?"
Yeah. Oh, you had one of those.
Two in one.
I remember watching the Nigeria game in the Cock and Pie in Ipswich before I started work. I was temping for Eastern Electricity at the time. And I had a blue WKD and a fry up at about 7:30 in the morning. Yeah, and then went to work. And I actually fell asleep towards the end of that. The game, it was such an awful football match, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was
both teams just needed to draw, didn't they? And it was just absolutely horseshit. So I do remember that,
And then a full shift.
And then, I don't know.
And still there now.
Same position. Still toasting.
Yeah, I don't think it was particularly productive, but you know, good times. Cool, right, well, we're going to talk about sort of those shirts that really illuminated World Cups in years gone by. I've asked you all to come up with one or two, just to avoid some clashes, because I think then potentially might be one or two of us who pick the same shirts. But Lewis, do you want to kick off with your first choice?
Yeah, mine's the one I really first remember. I've got it, it's actually now fiance, but first Christmas she bought it for me as well, so that's when you knew. But it's that Italy, that transition in Italy from the Diodora to Nike. And that it just that first World Cup 94, remembering that that Diodora pattern as well, that's sort of all over the shop, blue collars, and they were slightly bigger, got that as well, and it's sort of puffier vibe, which is great. And then into Nike, when I think I first started really getting into football and all the adverts, and that blue is just amazing with the sort of white collar and the white version is the reverse. And they didn't have, I don't think they had the manufacturer's logo.
We talked about this
on
the Six Pop.
Exactly. And it was, and so you look back, because I think they've had Cox Sportif, then into Diodora, then into Nike, and there's something mystical about not having it, not knowing why.
When did they first have?
I think Euro, might be, if not Euro 96, 98 they do.
Mm. I think they do in 96, because they defo in the qualifying, and Le Tournoi.
With England, yeah, of course.
You love Le Tournoi.
That particular collar. That particular collar, which is slightly, it's white, gold in the middle, and then that big blue collar.
Yeah.
You can, and again, it's sort of, most reason people listen and watch this, and certainly that's that geeky sense, is you can find them with the swoosh.
Yeah.
And there's always a little moment of, if you ever see someone in it, there's a real passion for it. But I think, that first World Cup final I would have watched properly. It's a bit of a drab match, but Baggio's, you know, that golden Brazil kit always stays in your mind. But there's, that was the first, I think the first international kit I really wanted that wasn't sort of England or Portugal. I didn't really know something about. And I think that sense of, if, if you knew sort of a bit about Italian football then, which I know we've sort of discussed before, that's a real feather in your cap as well, because again, where are you finding it from? Is it Channel 4? You know, again, to date us slightly, it's not everything at your fingertips. You know, you'd have to really, you know someone who knew about it. So that Italian blue.
That's fair enough. The logo thing is on the shirt, I just think it's really interesting. And it's like, it's really kind of feels like very old football, you know? Like some of the kids, do you know, who was it, the goalie who they'd drawn a number one on his back? I think it was in USA 94. I can't remember. I might be doing like Saudi Arabia or somewhere real injustice here. But they had to draw like a number one on an old t-shirt or something. Love that. I like that because it just feels a bit more innocent, doesn't it? And
there's an element of Sunday League about it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Everyone can relate to.
Yeah.
But, my link with yours is the Brazil 94 shirt. I think the.
Which we have.
The home shirt, yeah, which
we
have.
Yeah. Which we have here.
I genuinely don't think it gets talked about enough.
No.
I want to make a public statement now that this needs to be talked about more. I think it's Umbro in its pomp.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is where they kind of they show their quality, really. I mean,
so was this the 94 shirt? Was it? Was this come after? Because had they won? What was 94? Was there?
Yeah,
was that their fourth World Cup win?
Was there four?
So this must be post 94.
No, that's 93, 94 shirt. That's the shirt.
Because it's got four stars on it.
Yeah, that one might have been made
released
afterwards,
after.
So
this is obviously the commercial shirt after. So
right,
that star added on.
Well, I think they wear that version of the Umbro Cup.
Right.
Yeah.
Talking
about Umbro Cup, funnily enough, it was England's incredible red shirt from
one of the best ever
that Ronaldo swapped with.
So there's amazing photography of Ronaldo, Juninho, and another Brazilian player. I can't remember his name. Wearing, they obviously all swap shirts at the end, and they're all wearing that at Wembley.
So this is the red shirt with the huge.
It's the shirt that they didn't qualify for.
The kind of mod-esque collar, isn't it?
So big, it's got a button, isn't it?
Huge collar. Yeah.
So that shirt is.
So this was never worn in an international tournament, other than the.
Only qualifiers.
The Umbro Cup. The quality Umbro Cup.
Only qualifiers. Yeah.
Only qualifiers. Yeah, and this is the shirt that Graham Massoa scored that insane goal.
Unbelievable strike.
Against
Brazil. Yeah.
It's the shirt that obviously a lot of collectors now want for the Women's World Cup, where obviously they had the red rose.
Yeah.
The red rose shirt, I believe, is kind of based off of that. Mm. I mean, you can certainly make huge connections between the two. The women's shirt for that tournament is beautiful, so much so that they re-released it, rightly so, for everyone. A year or two later?
Sold
out.
Yeah, I bought that in a women's 14 to see if I could fit in it.
How'd you go on?
Not very well.
No. Have you got it here now?
Not with me, I've just got it on under here.
Yeah. But the cut is different.
Right? Yeah, very weird.
Yeah.
I know. It's very flattering.
It looked great in it. It looked super from behind.
Brilliant. It's an amazing kit. It's kind of a bit forgotten about, really.
So what is your pick anyway? Is it
the Brazil 94? The link, obviously, with Italy in the final.
Yeah.
Brazil squad, incredibly old.
The
average age was like 28, 29. Am I wrong? Yeah. I had a quick look on Wikipedia, but yeah.
Ronaldo was in the squad, wasn't he?
Never youngest player, 17.
Right.
Is he Ronaldinho at that point?
That's a good point. That
was Ronaldinho, wasn't he?
You've got Bebeto, who's like 31.
Yeah. Well, and then coaches, I think Zagallo? Yeah, Zagallo. Yeah. That's his third winning involvement with Brazil, I think. So I think he's been a player, been an assistant coach somewhere else. The one before that they didn't win any in the 80s, did they? 78, 78,
yeah.
Argentina. So they've got quite a long time.
Yeah.
82 at the moment. I can't remember. But they've gone quite a long time. But Zagallo, Zagallo's there, and he's, an extraordinarily sort of old man. And I think he still has a role in 2002, but everything was.
The goalie was old. Was it Taffarel?
Yeah, not as old as you think. Like I think he was like 27.
Do you know where he is now?
Go on.
He's on the Liverpool goalkeeping coach staff.
Is he really?
Taffarel, yeah. He's got Alisson. Got another young Brazilian lad that's in there. But Taffarel, Taffarel's been about a year.
Because he was Galatasaray's keeper, wasn't he?
Was he?
During
okay.
that area. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
There's a really good Galatasaray documentary, and he features heavily in it.
Right. Got an old Pro Star Taffarel colour. It's still my bookmark for
Wow. Really? Yeah.
I refuse to get rid of it. It's so crinkled. Yeah. And like colour's gone.
Amazing.
I used to love Taffarel.
It's
yeah.
the reason you haven't got
short sleeve shirt.
Haven't got a Kindle as well. It's just because
you've still
got
that. I refuse to use it.
It was a bit like
Taffarel. Can't use my Taffarel card.
These shirts were a bit mad, weren't they? Have I just misremembering that?
Like,
they were definitely short sleeved and massive.
If you can get hold of that shirt, it's quite shiny.
Right.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get. And obviously, he wore short sleeve shirts as well.
Hopefully, not going to hijack someone's choice, but is that an Umbro thing though? Because Campos is his Umbro, isn't it? So
yes.
that era, are they going with the keepers in the Prem?
No, they had the templates in the Prem,
right?
But they were all pretty mad. Yeah. But they didn't have obviously in the Prem no short sleeves,
but international
like,
stuff.
Yeah.
I remember seeing the short sleeves at age 10 and just being like, that kind of blew my mind to keep because you just weren't
like
used to seeing it.
Yeah.
I still don't like it now.
I still don't like it now. I don't think it should be allowed.
We'll say
that for the controversial discussion.
When I was a kid, I used to play in goal a bit actually.
Yeah.
And I wanted padding. I didn't even like, you know, the idea that you'd just have no padding on the arms.
Yeah.
I wanted that on the shoulders.
Science laughs at that now.
Padded trousers,
inevitably on Sunday league pitches.
On the sides.
But just weigh you down so much as soon as it rains.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
The one thing you don't want.
If you land in open water, you drown.
Yeah.
There's no way you'd keep a fight.
When I used to play in goal, I did play in goal a bit for my team when I was little, and I always used to wear trousers, always. I think I did have the padded ones.
It was the fashion as well, though.
Did he kill it? I think it's probably the latter.
Well, I remember seeing Paliuca for Inter. He was always in the trackies and the big white socks over the top.
He looked great.
Massive Aston Villa fan.
No, he's not.
Is he?
Google it. Very random fact.
Why?
Something to do with when they were winning in like the European Cup in the early 80s.
Yeah.
He just became obsessed with Aston Villa. He's a really, really big Aston Villa fan.
That's interesting. Yeah. It reminds me actually, we spoke to the guy who designed the Italy 2006 shirt, the one they won the World Cup.
Yeah.
And I think he said it's either the away shirt or maybe it's the training wear, it's all in claret and blue because he's a Villa fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rob Warner.
Does Buffon have a claret goalie shirt?
Maybe that's what it is.
Because I met up with him for another show and. He was telling us that the designer that he worked with was she was a Burnley fan, so it kind of worked. So they kind of both pushed for this claret and blue.
Oh, that's good. You definitely do that, though,
wouldn't
you?
Before we started a football team together, and it was quite a smart badge redesign later. But the first one, we were trying to really hurry something through to register for a league to get playing.
Yeah.
Really good mate of ours, Ben Barker's, he's a designer. But he, there's so many parts of the old Liverpool patch that's in it. Everton players. The old one. And he was just like, one day, he just pissed, leans into me, goes, "Have you ever noticed that our badges, dear faithful Liverpool?" So at every level, there's someone trying to crowbar a bit of influence on a bit of a schneidy badge. But yeah.
Yes, yeah, excellent. Good. Merce, what's your
Mine is
World Cup shirt?
And for me, this is what the World Cup is all about.
Okay.
Random nation, never been there before.
Yes, perfect.
You don't know it, you know very little about them, but with this team, you did because they had some Premier League players.
Yeah.
But imagine me, 12 years old, St. Helens, going to the All Sports and asking for my birthday. The 1998 Reggae Boys shirt.
That is Nation 98 yellow shirt.
Made by Kappa.
Oh.
Yeah.
That collar's outrageous.
It's amazing, isn't it? It was one of those where I was just like, I've got to get that.
Yeah. Do you remember how much it was?
It would have been about 25 quid, I reckon.
Really?
Yeah, at the time.
Oh my God, well, how much do you reckon that shirt's worth now? In that condition.
That condition.
It's got
to
be, 150, 200?
Yeah, upper towards 200.
It's
I'd
an
say.
Absolute.
So has anyone's got any Jamaica shirts kicking about in the attic?
Yeah.
But what I can remember about this was they had quite a lot of Premier League players.
Yeah. Dion Burton.
Dion Burton played.
Yeah.
Robbie Earle scored their first goal against
Croatia.
Yeah, they lose 3-1.
Because Croatia, was that their first tournament?
I think so. Yeah, it's their first World Cup, yeah.
And Japan were in that group
Japan,
as well, weren't
Japan
they?
Had that unbelievable, literal fire.
Yeah.
Japan
yeah,
kit
yeah.
made by ASICS.
Yeah. And then the Croatia shirts also.
So that group is Croatia.
Wow.
Argentina, who's got those amazing kits in that, and Batistuta scores like a 10-minute hat trick against them, just rips them to shreds.
Yeah,
and then they beat Japan, which is like obviously quite momentous for them.
Yeah.
But then they've not been to a World Cup since. And if you watch any of the highlights of it, their coaching gear and their training wear is unbelievable.
It's so good. Look at you. Yeah.
But yeah, it's like unbelievable polos. They've got a Brazilian manager who's got an amazing cap on as well, like this unbelievable cap of polo. But that, yeah, was just, and it's something that I've kept up for all those years, and like in those years go by and stuff, you throw things out. But it's just something I never threw away. Also, and I'm so happy I didn't.
At what size is it?
Yeah.
Medium.
I was going to say, I've got two follow questions, and one of them is, right, well, anyone listening, watching, I know personally, what I'd give to fit into something I'd have bought
as a
youngster.
Well, that's it. I've been, I've said it, I don't know if I've said it before. This is
Christmas
a medium
on the way
as well.
Yeah.
So all the stuff that I've got from that age still fits, because I've been this size since I was like 13. So that when I was that age, so at that age I was on like books at certain clubs and so on. But then just
as a keeper,
But then just past 15, just didn't get any attention because I was this tall. Which is just fucking bizarre. So I've got this amazing mad collection. Like, I sent you guys some stuff this week, like that Wigan Athletic.
Great
shirt.
Tenerife 2000 that still fits amazingly.
Yeah.
So
really
kind of blessed like that.
Yeah.
But
and
that
suppose,
is.
And I suppose my only other question was like, it must have been fairly unique to have had it. Like they can't. As in,
I can
it's
remember,
an amazing shirt, but in that sense of being young and being driven, what catches your eye?
Yeah, was there a Jamaican community in St Helens?
It's not huge. I can say that, but I can remember like a couple of my pals. My mate Rich Ram was obsessed with Brazil.
Yeah, of course.
One of the lads had that amazing Holland Nike shirt that Bergkamp scores that unbelievable strike against Argentina against.
Love that era of Nike shirt.
So good, but we'll talk about it later. Well, hopefully we can later on, but it's the real last bastion of individual country kits and no templates being used on a mass degree in a major tournament for me and stuff like that. Just a bit.
Yeah, I think brands really had monopolised certain countries and regions by that point. Obviously, there was to a degree, obviously.
Adidas sort of did it in 94, didn't they?
Yeah.
But,
but it's the first real Nike World Cup because they don't have anything in 94. Like USA is the
Adidas
jeans
shirt
and so on.
Stripes.
Yeah, that's a great choice. That is such a great shirt. I think that probably is the shirt of the tournament, isn't it? The Japan shirt was great.
Japan's one. Croatia's iconic, isn't it, from that era?
Yeah. That's sort of because of the fact it's a checkered design, which is different. But that shirt is so nice. Kappa as well.
Yeah.
It's just so of the time.
I'd love to know how Jamaica ended up with Kappa.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because
let's find out.
Leave it with me. I've not got anything else on. I'll just do that.
Don't want to do anything.
Yeah, don't want to do anything else. That's it now. All my calls.
Exactly. Well, that's a fine choice. Well, I'll talk briefly. I probably won't talk briefly about mine because I've got a little story attached to this. But my first World Cup was that I can remember was Italia 90. And you know, everyone's first World Cup is their best World Cup, is it? Is that fair to say? I
think that's probably fair.
Certainly a contender. Because even Italian night was a shit tournament by, you know, if you look at how many goals were scored, the number of sendings off and bookings and
bit of a drab affair, really.
It sort of prompted the pass back rule, I think, didn't it? Because of the way certain teams were playing. But for me, it's still like this incredible tournament.
Yeah,
obviously helped by the fact that, you know, England were really good in that tournament. And the Republic of Ireland as well, actually. But my favourite team in that tournament was Cameroon. Because I don't know if I'd ever heard of Cameroon before.
Yeah.
And Cameroon, I think they played in the first game against Argentina. I remember the game anyway, whether it was the first game or not, I'm not sure. But Argentina were the champion, the reigning champions. Yeah. And they played Cameroon, and it was in the San Siro. So everything was like, it just looked amazing. Like the San Siro looked incredible because it just got its new roof, which is obviously beautiful. We're going to lose the San Siro soon, which is an absolute tragedy.
Yeah.
And they were just like had this mental kit. And actually the team was sort of pulled together from some random like second division French players or something. So it was a sort of mishmash team, and then they wore this kit which was like this sort of bright green two-tone. I haven't got it with me, which is a shame. I think we have had a couple in, haven't
we
years,
have,
but
wow,
sort of two-tone green. It was like an Adidas template. I think Russia might have had it and some others, but two-tone green. It looked about 4 years out of date in 1990. Like, I remember thinking that kit looks out of date already.
Yeah.
You know. And then they paired it with the red shorts, and I think it was yellow socks for the first game.
Nice,
just incredible.
Yeah,
I think they changed their combination every group game. I think they might have worn green socks and then yellow. They wore yellow shirt, yellow version of it in the third group game. But anyway, they beat Argentina 1-0, It's in that incredible match where Kinesio
absolutely
obliterated.
He was my first footballing hero, really. He was a Benfica in those early years, but
yeah.
And he gets absolutely chopped, doesn't it?
It's about three times.
It's a wrestling move.
But the last one is,
loses his boot, doesn't he?
Yeah. Flies up in the air, doesn't
he? Benjamin Massing, I think, is that he does the final.
Honestly, it looks like he stepped on a landmine.
Yeah, it's so.
I just love the way he staggering, like, I'm going to make this.
Benjamin Massing says, no, you're not, mate. He loses his boot, and then he's like, he can't believe he's incredulous.
He's
offended.
It's just magical. Brilliant game. And then I think they win the next one. They get smashed in the last group game, but obviously they go through to play England. And during the pandemic, I think the BBC or replaying World Cup games, I watched that game again, and England was so lucky.
You're really, really lucky.
Yeah, and I think Cameroon had that reputation probably because of what happened to Kinesia, that they were a bit brutal, but actually they were decent as well. They played really well. England were really lucky against
them. It was like a lack of discipline towards the end.
Yeah, and there's a famous Bobby Robson quote that after that game where we didn't underestimate them, but they were better than we thought.
Completely sincerely.
And anyway, they wore that ridiculous kit, and I remember thinking, and the best thing about it is the badge. The badge is fucking enormous. It's like too big. It doesn't make any sense.
Well, the badge is, instantly, when you talk about your first World Cup, is that's definitely, Knife Force will have the sticker book. And it is the badges that really stick. And obviously, they're shiny, or Panini, or whatever, Merlin, whoever makes it. But it's interesting that, because it is the badges, for some reason, is the thing that really sticks. I think at the moment, there's a few, Belgium's an interesting example, that they've sort of gone through a few, and last year was the 125th anniversary, I think we sent the kit around. But really, like, the intricacies of the Argentinian AFA badge with the flowers on the top, that sort of thing sticks to you when you, that first World Cup, when it really lands.
Absolutely, is
a real thing you can't shift.
I
can really remember in detail the Swiss badge from like the mid 90s. It was just like, it's a bit like the flag.
That was great, shiny.
Got that from geography. Really good, fine. It's got a load of other little bits because of football and stuff.
So I think Cameron is a great example, because the badge looked too big for the shirt. It was almost like it had been, stuck on a week before the tournament or something.
I can't imagine it was widely manufactured.
No. And we were talking earlier about those sort of kits that were thrown together. Now it's obviously so commercial, and it would have been done so far in advance, and that clearly wasn't. And I just love it. And also, I love that there's a lovely story. This is what I was leading towards.
Great.
That season, I think Napoli won the Scudetto that year, or the year leading up to it, possibly, or a year early, something
there
like that. And there was a very, obviously, big north-south divide in Italy, and Maradona very closely aligned himself, playing for Napoli, a big southern club, and later in the tournament, I think when they played Italy, he told Napoli fans to support Argentina. It's like, the rest of Italy don't care about you, so why do you support Argentina? Because he played at the, what's the stadium called in Napoli?
The Diego Maradona Stadium.
Is
it Sao Paulo? I can't remember.
And anyway, so he plays, the first game is against Cameroon in Milan, and so all the Milanese don't really like him, so they're all supporting Cameroon as well, so it's like, creates this really sort of interesting atmosphere. And I can't remember what the exact story is here, but the goalkeeper for Cameroon, he got sort of pulled in at the last minute. I don't know if the original keeper was injured or something like that. And he was shitting himself. He didn't want to play. He was like, proper, I can't do it. And apparently the president of Cameroon, I think he's a president, phones this guy up and is like, you've got to fucking play, mate. You've got to play. Like, this is a big game. So he plays. He's named Thomas Sangolo, I think it is. And he has the game of his life. They win 1-0. I think it was 1-0. Unbelievable. Like, really, in the sort of history of World Cup games, that's up there with one of the biggest shocks, because they're playing against the world champions. And anyway, there's a kid watching this game who, and I don't think he was in the ground, but he's watching this game on TV, and he's like, this guy's amazing. And the kid then goes out and gets some goalie gloves. I don't know if it's literally straight away, but I'm going to say it is.
That feels good.
He literally gets, turns the TV off, goes to the local shop, goes to All Sports.
All Sports. Yeah.
Pull some goalie gloves on. And his name is Gigi Buffon.
Really?
Yeah, and later he goes on to have a child. And I don't know if this is true, but I want to believe it, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to say it's a fact. He has a child, and he calls the child Thomas, after Thomas Sangolo.
Wow.
That's really good.
That's a great story.
Yeah, that's really good.
So if Buffon's listening,
Yes.
Yeah,
come on. Just to prove the story.
Just to say that's completely
wrong. He
hasn't got any kids. Or Thomas Buffon.
Typical journalistic style. You just lied.
Being sued for...
It's like his brother's called Thomas.
Yeah, Uncle Thomas.
But for the sake of this, that's a really nice story.
That's a lovely story, isn't it? I hope it's true.
Me too.
I want it to be true.
Yeah. For the sake of the story in the pod, it is.
Yeah. I think Buffon would have been about 12 at that point.
Nice, yes, formative.
Yeah, there's a point at which you think, am I going to play outfield, am I going to play in goal? Maybe, you know.
So that's amazing.
There we are.
Stop growing.
Yeah, stop growing.
All those things are keeper.
Should we talk about some other World Cup shirts? Any others?
If we're squeezing it in, it's not so much a World Cup shirt. When I was thinking about it, it's the balls. And I know that I sort of mentioned, sort of done that with the Prem balls. But the, again, that first thing you remember, and again, I was talking about it, with my partner, who even herself claimed, and her brother used to draw, I don't know, people themselves as kids or whatever.
Yeah.
Drawing a football with like the hexagonal black panels.
Yes.
Is like the one. And I think 1970 is that Adidas Telstar, which is sort of the what starts all the way up to the Tango, which is the absolute which is sort of in the 80s. But that Telstar's, so that's 1970, and it's a black and white patch because. Definitely North America, I think most of Europe, like they go out and buy televisions in their droves in 1969 for the moon landing.
Right.
So like everybody's just on stuff.
Right, yeah. Podcast is education.
But it was. People go for it, So like loads of people, especially the Americans, go really, really, really hard on personal TVs, having TVs in the living room and whatnot. So the Telstar comes out in 1970, so you can see it better on TV. Because it's the first explosion of World Cups being watched on the telly. And if you think that's about how, like, if you ever watched sort of Mexico 70 to like 66, you know, it's like Bobby Charlton and the boys, were just, like, it's such a real massive difference. And obviously black and white, and I've not been in that era. You watch it that way, whether it's now, not even on the telly, like through your phone or on the internet, whatever.
Yeah.
But that's that shift, and I still think most of it was in black and white, but again, being able to see the ball was that first one, and then adding that's obviously all the way up to sort of the trickle, which I think was more of a blue than a black, but... Yeah, that first tango afterwards that was used and Adidas having that tournament.
Yeah.
And that being 1970, the way I think I'd still even think about a football now, obviously.
Yeah, if you look at, if you buy a gift card or something for a kid, the football
And of course
like
it's
that
era.
Yeah.
I mean, the football's
right,
way later on. I know people love that golden one, which I really struggle with.
Oh, yeah.
Is it in 2002?
2002, the champagne one. It's not for me.
No, but...
I love it.
But yeah.
Because it matches the champagne...
Oh, the Bex's boots. Is that what, okay, all right.
It's
all
that same colour, isn't it?
Right. Manias, But that, I don't know, what definitely, again, I don't know, most of this stuff when it comes to nostalgia, like the first one or who you watch it with, but that being the sort of nascent first era, not the first white footballs, they were used for years and the slightly reddish ones.
Yeah.
But that patchwork, well, if you like.
Yes.
His head, isn't it?
Yes.
Old Chow's head. But that is a World Cup staple. Those Adidas balls that were always it's really amazing, especially the 90s.
They were always great. I loved the Italian 90 ball, which was sort of the 86. It was like the Tango, really, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't remember what it was called. It had that, began with an E, didn't it? I forgot what its name is now.
Yeah,
but they always look so like it looked otherworldly. I think.
Yeah.
Glamorous and exciting and different.
And I think at that era, you wouldn't have been able to. As a mere mortal, like course, you wouldn't have been able to kick one of them footies.
No, I know,
Because where would you have got it from?
Yeah.
Here's
one. Go on.
Pre Adidas,
right.
Who was the last manufacturer to make a World Cup football?
Mitre.
So it's 66.
Yeah.
It's Slazenger.
They made the
balls. That's really good.
The cup final
really
ball was a Slazenger footy.
Really?
Wow.
That is mental.
Yeah.
Looks good just over the line, doesn't it?
When I started watching football, I always used to, as a kid, I was obviously ahead of everyone else. so I always used to, the ball, why were the different clubs allowed to use different balls? Like, Ipswich had that cool Umbro ball, which I loved. United had it as well. Then you go somewhere else, it'd be a Mitre Delta, somewhere else it'd be Adidas, Liverpool, Adidas.
That's quite new. It's a relatively
new. It was the same in Europe. When they played international, like European fixtures, United always played with the Umbro ball.
Really. And then, like, you go to Italy and they'd have that, was it All Sport, I think, possibly? Always felt like very Serie A, that ball. I could just sort of picture it watching, you know, Gazzetta or whatever.
Yeah,
it was like yeah, this is sort of apropos of nothing really, but it was just kind of like, I remember at that time, even being a kid, thinking it's weird that they've got different balls for different teams.
Yeah.
Because even now, right, if Ipswich play in the FA Cup or whatever, they'll use that ball in training in the week leading up to the game.
So I don't think, so as far as what we would have recognised in the Premier League, it wasn't actually, they didn't franchise the ball then.
No.
So clubs who obviously had their own sponsors.
But right. The Mitre ball had the Premier League logo,
Yeah. So I think that probably came in halfway through the league or something like that. They've obviously, they'd sorted out the sponsorship for it. Again, fact checking, we probably need to look into that. You can add that in the byline underneath.
Yeah, definitely.
Post pod research. But yeah, a lot of that type of stuff, that was, it was still pretty open ended really. I mean, if you look, if you've watched it, I mean, I've watched them so many times over. I mean, it's my go-to. Like, I can't think of anything to watch. I just stick it on now. Fever Pitch documentaries on iPlayer, the birth of the Premier League. They're trying to work out what they can franchise and what they can't, or how it would work and how it would be received by fans and stuff. And I think that's a big part of it as well.
So maybe the World Cup just did it, really early on. I mean, like they say, that Adidas connection. Mm. But yeah, but that was it. Yeah, balls, I thought, were worth mentioning.
USA 94 ball was massively bootlegged as well.
Oh really?
Yeah, there was loads of them knocking around in terms of, like, there was just versions of it. It was quite an easy one to, I'm assuming, to replicate.
Right. Okay.
Lovely blue, like stars and red in it. Right. It's not too similar from France, like all that.
Yeah,
it's
all very similar, weren't they? From like 90 to 98.
Yeah.
And then obviously 02, you get the.
We had a family holiday to Italy. We drove all the way there.
Nice.
It was fucking miserable.
Yeah.
Very very hot. But the silver lining was I picked up a, obviously 94 was, well, 94 was happening at the time, so it was an amazing country for the start of it.
Yeah.
And picked up a ball from a market for it for whatever it was at the time, probably less than a fiver. And I fucking loved that ball.
Yeah.
Lost it in the fern tree in the back garden. My dad refused to go and get it out.
That stayed lost.
And the thing is, when he eventually cut it down, got it down, and it was like all faded and everything, I kept it for ages. It was completely useless. Yeah. Anyway,
thanks, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, what a shit.
Good one.
What a shit. Cool. All right. That sounds like a good place to stop. Obviously, World Cup coming up. Any quick predictions just before we finish as to who's going to win it? Lewis, you can't say Portugal.
No, I think Portugal, I think they're going to struggle a bit. I think it will be Brazil. The French look great.
Yeah.
But I do fancy, Brazil. I think it was just, and off the back of, I think, just one video of them, the way they met in like in the restaurant the last time they went for international duty. I just thought.
Very together.
There's enough talent there. Then there's the sort of seam on it.
Yeah.
But yeah.
To be boring, I think I'm going to say the same to you. And
it's
from the same scenes. I thought like, that looks like a team that's just going to enjoy themselves and probably play very well.
Which, and wearing that shirt, sorry, it's your turn if you like, but wearing a French shirt, they just somehow, I know they're obviously reigning champions, so they've done it. But they're just at the moment finding a way to sort of wind themselves up a bit more.
I'm not
really
sure about France. I think they could turn up and win it.
We haven't had a non-European winner for 20 years.
Is that right?
I think it's France's to lose, and I think they will, because they'll just F it at this point, like, in terms of everything that's going on behind the scenes and stuff. And then I think you'll see Zidane France for the Euros in Germany in 2 years.
Good shout. I am going to go France. So fuck you lot.
England though, where do you think England will end up? When they get knocked out,
I won't be the only one, but I've had a little look at this because I've worked out that last 16 and quarterfinals could end up on a Saturday in here, basically. Which I think September 3rd and September 10th. But top the group, assuming Holland do, Senegal last 16, which I think's a last 16. That might be a Sunday. But it's second in the group, whether it's Wales or USA, played Netherlands. But it looks like France quarterfinals if England came top, which just rankings wise and the way they've played, they should do. If they come second, they play Holland, so it's pretty tough. But I think it's like a Argentina Brazil semi could be on the cards. There's a few. It gets as it has to. It gets pretty fruity. September 3rd, September 10th is a little earmark that one for
an air.
Yeah.
For the pub's sake, I want England to go all the way, obviously.
Right. I didn't know what way you were going to go.
Yeah.
Is it like,
but I can't see him going past the quarterfinal, I think.
Yeah.
I think
really?
It's just... I don't think... I don't think they're too I don't think they're positive enough to do it.
Mm. And there's seen a lot of negativity, but I mean, name a tournament where England haven't been knocked down and there been negative conversation around it.
Yeah.
I don't think it's not in our way, is it really?
06 we were quite positive, weren't we? We all thought we were going to win.
Media though? Were the media that positive about it though? They never are.
Going into the love, they love that. Mm. Attacking your lot. Yeah, yeah. That is journalists.
Not anymore. Cool. All right. That's good stuff, boys. Thanks for that. Pleasure to talk all things World Cup.
Thanks for your time. Yeah, brilliant.
Cheers, lads.
Thank you.
Thanks.